Good afternoon, I'm Linda Dow. I thought it would be fun to kick off the new year with a guest who has chosen a career that is regarded as rather unconventional, and that is women in the trades. Local resident Amy Webster is a licensed carpenter, and she encourages women to try their hand at using power tools to create something to be proud of. Amy is also a volunteer firefighter, and I'm pleased to welcome her to today's In Focus. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Linda.
How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So, you know, you're a licensed carpenter and a volunteer firefighter, two occupations that don't usually attract women. And I'm just wondering, what made you decide to choose a career in woodworking that traditionally doesn't include too many women? Or does it?
There's definitely more women than there used to be. As for the reason I joined because, to be honest, because I wanted to become a firefighter. And I met some women when I was in my early 20s that were firefighters in Toronto. And they really showed me that I was capable and I was strong. And so then I looked into getting into the trades for a career.
Well, that's interesting. So you became a volunteer firefighter before you became a licensed carpenter?
Not before, but kind of at the same time. I went to Algonquin College for the Heritage Carpentry Program. And then just about when I was finishing that program, I became a volunteer firefighter.
Good heavens. Well, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about the firefighting aspect of your career, but maybe we'll do the licensed carpenter first. Hmm. So you decided to go to Algonquin College, and I'm just wondering, you know, what made you go there and decide to choose woodworking?
Like I said, I wanted a career in the trades, and then I ended up doing the Heritage Carpentry Program just because it appealed to me in a creative aspect, because it wasn't just building stick frame houses. It was actually restoring older houses and learning how to do traditional woodworking the way it was done hundreds of years ago. So okay. It was a unique program, and that's what appealed to me. It was just a bit different than the mainstream.
Right. So it was the heritage aspect of it then.
Yes.
Right. Were you always interested in woodworking and that kind of thing when you were young?
I wasn't when I was young. No, I did not grow up in a family of tradespeople. I think at one point my dad sort of realized that university was not really interesting to me. And so he suggested I join the trades. But at the time, this would have been in the early 2000s, I really didn't see myself represented in the trades at all. So I was really intimidated to do that at
were
the
you,
time.
Were you really, eh?
Well, yeah. At that time, you just really didn't see a lot of females in the trades. Nowadays, you definitely see it a lot more, even in Perth. There's a lot of us out there. So it just took me some time to meet women in the trades and then realize, hey, this is something that I can do.
I'm just wondering, you know, what has the attitude been towards you as a woman pursuing a career in a male-dominated field like that?
I think a long time ago it used to be a lot harder, but nowadays I really don't feel like I'm treated any differently.
Oh, really? That's very interesting and very encouraging.
It's something that comes down to your attitude as well. Like, if you show up and you expect to be treated differently because you're a woman, it's not really the message that you want to send. You're there to do the job because you're passionate about the job, and that's what I focus on.
So you feel that anyone, if they do a good job, they're going to be respected, right?
That's right. It's about your attitude, like anything in life.
I'm just wondering, you know, what the climate is like now for women getting into the trades. And I know, you know, you just mentioned that it is more common than and more accepted. I think that's wonderful.
Becoming that way, yes. The numbers are still really low, but it's slowly transitioning, and younger women now are seeing that as a career opportunity. And I think it is a really good career opportunity that should be sort of, you know, more celebrated, more advertised, I suppose.
Right. And of course, you doing this as a local woman doing this, you're encouraging that in women as well. I know there'll be women listening today that will be very encouraged by what you say. Who is it that other than yourself, of course, that is encouraging women to enter the trades?
I think it's just who's encouraging women to enter the trades. I mean,
like schools and businesses,
yeah, schools,
and things like that.
Definitely, you know, any college program you want to go and take, you're welcome to go and take it. There's also incentives to do your apprenticeship. The government offers grants for women doing their apprenticeship in any trade, so that's to help you out towards your school. So we have that going for us too. And I think, you know, for the most part, people are really receptive to women entering the trades. There's not a lot of, there's nothing really stopping you from doing it.
It's just something you have to want to do it and really believe in yourself that you can, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think the biggest hurdle for any of us is just insecurity. So if you can get over that and just stop focusing on the fact that that you're maybe the only woman in your work group that day, if you just get that out of your head, I think there's nothing stopping you from pursuing any kind of trade that you want to do.
How much schooling was involved in you to become a licensed carpenter?
So I did a two-year program at Algonquin College. That was the Heritage Carpentry Program. And then I had to work for 6 years in the carpentry field to get enough hours to write my Red Seal exam.
6 years?
Mm-hmm. So I also went back to school to do my level 2 and 3. It's just 6 months of schooling per year to work on your Red Seal. It covers all the different aspects that are actually on the licensing exam. So I did that. And then I wrote the exam last year. And so now I'm licensed.
And so in order to be licensed, do you have to have a Red Seal?
It's, yeah, the license is the Red Seal. So,
oh, okay.
When you go through the apprenticeship program, the idea is that you do your initial college course in any trade, then you have to get your work hours and you're supervised during that under someone who has their Red Seal, and then you either go to school or you challenge the exam. I won't get into the nitty-gritty of it, but basically you go back to school to complete your levels, your apprenticeship training, and then you write the exam. So it's sort of, the idea is that you amass skills on the job as an apprentice, and then you become a licensed tradesperson.
Right. Similar to other trades as well, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You received a leadership award. What was that all about?
I mean, I just worked really hard while I was at the college to organize events, advocate for the students, to get extra shop time. And also I organized a few markets there, the Student Makers Market. Some people listening might remember it, but basically it was an event where the students were able to sell some of the things that they had made for people in the community. And it was just a nice way to bridge the gap between the college and the community to invite people into the school to see what the students were doing. So I think that's why I was awarded that award, but I had a really good experience at the college.
You're being very modest about it. I think it's wonderful, the work that you did there. I'm just wondering, what part of woodworking do you like the most?
I like that it's oftentimes always different. So you're moving to different sites, you're doing different projects, and then you get to move on to something new. And the other aspect about it I like is that you're constantly learning. It's not something that you just do the same thing every day.
But you do fine carpentry work, don't you?
Yeah, we do solid wood work mostly, millwork and architectural millwork. So trim, frame and panel doors and windows and furniture and built-ins. So anything that's solid wood, anything that's also traditional architectural millwork, like details on either the inside or the outside of a home that's
incredible.
Made of wood.
Heavy on the traditional, right?
Yeah.
When did you and your partner, Quentin, create Wildwood?
I believe it was in 2016 that we started. So it was while I was still in school. We started our own business.
And what kinds of things do you make there? Do you create?
So we do the, like I just said, so we do the architectural millwork, the solid wood, woodworking, heritage carpentry. And we also run workshops for people to come into our shop and learn how to do woodworking themselves.
Let's talk about that. And I'm just wondering why you decided to do or to offer workshops for women. Let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah, so people have actually been asking me for a few years to do that. We had done workshops in the past and they said, oh, I'm a woman and I really want to learn how to use power tools. Now, I kind of ignored it at first because I thought, well, anyone can go learn how to use power tools. But
well, I know they scare me.
Yeah.
Should I be taking your course?
Maybe. I brushed it off. I thought, you know, you just have to go do it. But what I realized since I recently launched a women's power tool workshop is that it's very moving for a lot of these women that are doing it. They say, you know, I've always wanted to do this. I never had the courage, or I had kids when I was really young and I didn't have a choice. I had to work, you know, a pension job and I never got to pursue this.
Yes.
Anyway, there's all these different reasons that I had sort of overlooked as to why perhaps, you know, this opportunity is really exciting for a lot of women. And I had over 100 people register to take this workshop. So it kind of blew my mind on the interest that's there.
And that's incredible.
The eagerness for women to learn to use tools. So it's obviously something that's, there's a huge, there's a lot of interest. So
there's a demand for that then. So yeah. Is there anybody else in the area that would do something like that? It sounds like that you're right out front there and doing something very different that isn't offered to women.
I mean, women can take any program or course or workshop that they want. I think what appeals about this is that it is some women getting together, maybe just the girls, to kind of do something that's maybe not normally offered. Yeah, it's just a little different.
I think that's great. And have a woman teaching them as well. I think that's great. So you've had wonderful response, it sounds like. They're learning how to use power tools. How do they feel about that? Are they comfortable the first time they go in and start up that saw or what? How does it feel?
Mostly they're excited. That's the overall.
Yeah.
There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of excitement. And I think the whole point of the course is to get over maybe your insecurity, get over being scared. Like, I'd really like to break down that barrier. So it happens. Yeah, people are nervous, but then they try and practice. And like anything, it's, you will get it. You just have to keep trying and not give up the first time and give up.
And learn the safety aspects of it. And when you understand that, I guess, then the fear probably melts away, does it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, growing up, I did not get to use tools. I just didn't have them around.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't until I started trying to use them and going to school that I figured it out. And then, yeah, it's not rocket science. You just have to practice, like I said. So yeah, to sort of demystify it and get tools in their hands, that's the goal. And then I want people to go home and say, okay, I'm going to buy myself a skill saw, go build a picnic table.
I think that's great. What kind of projects are the women working on in your workshops?
So we're going to, I'm just
And when do they start, by the way?
They're starting next Saturday. So I'm booked for January, but there's still spots in February and March.
That's great. And we'll go over your website so people can get in touch with you before we close the interview, okay? So back to what's some of the projects that they're working on right now.
So it took me a while to think of something that would be a nice project. I really wanted it to be something. Obviously, I wanted them to leave with something that they built. I decided that each participant would build a pair of sawhorses, because the idea being that they can then take those sawhorses home and use it on a carpentry project now that they feel comfortable at least attempting something. So I really wanted it to be something that can turn into furthering the skills that they learn, not just an object that's going to sit on a shelf. Like, it's something that's going to encourage them to try the next thing.
Right. Something very useful. Yeah.
Yeah. So sawhorses are for holding material, or you can make a makeshift work top with it. If you don't know what it is, it's like two.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So That's what each person is going to build.
Right. Let's talk for a minute. We don't have too much time left, but I'd like to for you to talk about your volunteer firefighting. How does that, you know, why did you decide to do that? That's dangerous, isn't it?
It can be dangerous. Why did I decide to do that?
There's not very many women in that, is there?
There is more women. It's not all women, mm-hmm. But there's definitely more women across the whole country that are involved in firefighting. There's female chiefs, so it's not as uncommon as everyone thinks.
Okay.
It's just something I always wanted to do it when I was younger, and it wasn't until I was older that I realized I met some women that were doing it, and I sort of saw them as role models. They were older than me, and they were super fit, and they were firefighters with the city, and I just thought that's something I really want to do. So I can't really give you a straight answer as to why. It's just something I think any of us who do it, it's just, I don't know why, but you just really want to do it.
Which fire department are you with, and what areas do you cover?
So I'm on BBD&E, so we're Drummond, North Elmsley, Tay Valley townships.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a pretty large area. The town of Perth covers the central town of Perth, and we cover the townships all around, the cottage country all around the town of Perth.
So what do you actually do there as a firefighter?
What's your job? We do fire and rescue calls. So we go to fires, we go to motor vehicle accidents, we go to ice water rescue calls, we go to brush fires, anything that's considered a fire or a rescue call, we're responding for that.
Right. I mean, what do you do yourself? I mean, do you you get right in there, right, with the guys? You hold those hoses and climb ladders and things like that? I mean, that's heavy work, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But it's not any different than any other physical job. I mean, I'm a firefighter, the same as anyone else there. And I do the job. I've done all the training, and I'm a firefighter.
I understand that recently, I think as of this July, all firefighters have to have certain basic training or something like that. There's something I was reading recently about that.
Yeah, there's a standardized training that we all have to do. It's part of the recruitment process. And it's a lot of hours that you have to commit, but it's also really good training to learn the job. So
you must be very fit.
I could be more fit, but I think I'm strong.
You must be. Do you worry about the risks of being a firefighter?
I don't. I mean, sure, but it doesn't keep me up at night. I mean,
well, that's good.
We all work as a team, and it's really like, I hate to use this term, but it's a brotherhood. That's, you're never alone. You're working as part of a team, and it's, the high you get from that is so, it's something you can't really explain. And it's just a really good, it's something amazing to be involved in. Like, I recommend it to anyone who's remotely interested in doing it.
Really?
I think my mom loses sleep over the
more than you do. Amy, I think it's amazing the things that you're doing. I really do. I really take my hat off to you for, you know, challenging things and it sounds like you are a person that really likes challenges. Am I right?
I guess so. I don't know. Like, it's not
just you.
Challenge when a man does it as much, you know, just because I'm a woman, it seems like, oh, she's so amazing. Anyone can do it. It's just,
okay.
You have to go do it, you know?
It's, right.
If you're passionate about something, I don't think it's any more challenging. It's just following your passion, I guess, and trying not to focus too much on the whole I'm a female thing.
I think you're giving us all something, a different way of looking at things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, like I said at the beginning, it's just about your attitude.
Where can our listeners find more information about what you do? Your website?
So my business is called Wildwood, We're actually right next door to the fire hall, next door to the BBD fire
in
hall.
In Perth.
So you can either stop by my shop, or our website is wildwoodperth.com. And if you are interested in any of the workshops that I offer, you can go online there and take a look at them. And you can also book your spot right on the website.
Sounds really good. Amy, thank you so much for this. It's been really interesting.
Yeah, I hope someone's inspired to try something new by listening to this.
And thank you for being an inspiration for women as well. I think it's incredible what you do.
Thanks a lot, Linda.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For hosting me on the show.
You're very welcome. We'll talk again someday. Have a great day, Amy. And thanks again. My guest, Amy Webster, is a local licensed carpenter and volunteer firefighter. I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.